This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Big day. Not because it's trash day at the Paulson household, although that's exciting too.
It's trash day at our house too. How about that?
I dragged the dumpster and our recycling out to the front of the driveway right when I got in the car today, so that was nice. Big day because we're talking to Taylor Heinicke's college football coach, Bobby Wilder, at 3. That dude is awesome.
He's fun, man.
Coached at Old Dominion, puts Heinicke over. By the end of the interview, you think Heinicke's going to win an MVP. He's just great on the air.
No, and he knows his stuff and goes to bat for his player and gives you all the reasons why. And as soon as we've talked to him before, and after about 3-4 minutes, I was like, you know what? He's right. Taylor Heinicke is the best option in the NFC East and one of the top three quarterbacks in the NFL. It's probably Rodgers, Mahomes, and Heinicke in some order. That's how you feel after he talks.
525 today, one of the best baseball guests on radio, CJ Nitkowski, longtime major league pitcher, on this sticky stuff controversy that has taken baseball by storm. Make sure you're listening at 525. If you're out of the office early on your way home, taking the kids to soccer practice later, make sure you get us back in your rotation at 525 to hear what CJ has to say. What I want to know from him is, should baseball be taking away all foreign substances, or should they just be zeroing in on this newfangled spider tack stuff that pitchers are using? Before we get into some big NBA action last night and what's going on in the NFL, because there's a lot to discuss in football today, and we'll be covering it hot and heavy on Grant and Danny. I went yesterday to the Nats game. So first of all, congratulations. They've won 4 in a row, 5 out of 6. They're playing better baseball.
They are.
They're pitching their butts off. They've given up 7 runs in their last 7 games. And yesterday was Paolo Espino Day. We don't need Scherz Day anymore because we got Paolo Day.
Listen, the Pirates stink. This is what you're supposed to do to teams that stink. You beat them. This is what the Nationals did for years when the Marlins were awful. You go, 15-4 against the Marlins, you win the division. Do that. Stockpile wins.
So I got a question for you, and I want our listeners to tweet me their thoughts at Grant H. Paulson. So yesterday, we get off the air at what time?
3:35.
35, okay. Yeah. 4:05 first pitch. So at about 3:45, I got off the air, packed up my bag, texted the wife, said, hey, I got an opportunity to go down to Nationals Park and watch the game. She said, do it. Father's Day week. Enjoy yourself.
Enjoy yourself.
That's awesome. Thank you. So I go down there, get my ticket pulled up on the app on my way down, scan it on my way in, no problem. I got the cheapest ticket that was available to me, $13, and went into the ballpark,
awesome.
Right? I'm on my way to go sit in the seat that I bought. There's not a bad seat in the place, and I don't mind sitting up high and watching the routes the outfielders take. But I'm walking around the bend, and I decide the first pitch is being thrown. I said, I'm going to just kind of tuck in here and sit down in this almost completely empty section. And at the end of the first inning, I'll go up to my seat. Like, no problem. There's nobody here. It's a 4:05 game. park is a quarter full, something like that. So halfway down the first base side, third base side rather, nowhere near home plate. I just kind of sit in the top row of the section, and I'm chilling. And right away, an usher comes up and goes, do you have a ticket for this seat? There's nobody within 20 feet of me, okay? And I was like, no, I don't. I've got a ticket up there. I'm making my way, but I just wanted to watch the first half inning. I can leave at the end of the first. And the guy says to me, no, don't worry about it. Like, you know, no problem. And he goes about his way.
Oh, okay.
Fine. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll just chill here. It's obviously nobody's seat. Six innings goes by. I'm by myself. I'm actually, this is how few people around me there were. At a very low volume under my breath, I'm calling play-by-play the entire game. I love doing that bit. Yeah. It's actually a practice thing for me.
No, seriously.
Like it's not even as a joke.
Because you do it.
So I call the game, and I do it. Occasionally, I'll make up little stats or whatever stuff I would have, my normal research in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll make little things up where a guy went to college. Because on a day where I'm getting to call a game, I'll actually have that. In this moment, I don't. But I just sit there and I call the game. But there's no one around me. That's how much room I have. Point of the story is, about the seventh inning, the usher comes up to me again. He goes, you still making your way upstairs or what? You're going to stay. I'm going to have to charge you. And just by mentioning it, clearly it's annoying him that I'm there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, well, I thought you said no problem. He's like, no, I meant no problem you could watch the half inning, not no problem you could stay here the whole game. And I was like, oh, I had no idea. I'm sorry. I'll leave. And I like stood up to leave. And he's like, yeah, people pay $80 for these seats. And I said, so what? No one did today and nobody's here right now. He's like, that's not really the point. You know, it's $80 for these seats. If you don't pay, you shouldn't sit in them. And I was like, no, it's quite literally the point. There's nobody around and no one paid for this seat. But whatever, man. And I just kind of was like, have a good day.
Mm-hmm.
And I just left and walked around the ballpark and went in standing room only, whatever. Not a big deal. My question to Danny Ruye is this. I have always thought, if I was an usher, unless someone's seat is taken, who cares? Yes, that seat costs X amount of dollars. If nobody's there, nobody purchased it. And or someone purchased it and didn't show up.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares if I'm sitting there by myself in a row that is wide open in a section that is sparsely used? I've always thought it was just ridiculous to
care.
Yeah,
I have too.
And for this guy specifically to come back to me innings later. Now, whatever. I'm not mad at the guy. I mean, if I see him tomorrow, I'll be like, hey, what's up, buddy? How you doing? But my point is just in general with ushers, this is a hypothetical.
Sure.
Where are you at on this? Because I've been doing this my whole life, going to games, and occasionally you sit in a section better than you paid for. If someone comes and it's their seat, obviously I'm moving. A little bit embarrassing. And if it's a packed house, I'm not going to do that. But on a day, a 405 businessman special, where there's
when nobody's in town against the Pirates, for goodness sakes.
A third of the ballpark is full.
At most.
If you kick me out, okay, cool. I'll go on my way. I'm not going to have a scene with you. But I don't know. That's always been weird to me. And his point is, it's very simple. These cost $80. You didn't pay the $80, you shouldn't be sitting here. And it's very simple for me, too. No one is sitting here. Who cares? Where are you at on that?
I'm on the latter. It's one of those things, and I usually, this was with kids, too. I remember this going to Memorial Stadium with my pops. You know, you're not springing the $100 for the front row, but on a day game in the afternoon against, I don't know, at the time, the Milwaukee Brewers, which are an AL team, and nobody cared. Come on, man. The seven-year-old gets set up close one time. Who cares? And we'll move if somebody comes. And it was usually a bit more lax than that. Every once in a while, you get somebody that probably had been lectured that day by their boss to not let it happen. I'm sure, and there's reasons for it.
Yeah, I'm not mad at the guy.
No, I'm not saying you are. But it's the kind of thing where if there's harm in it, a.k.a., you're sitting in somebody's seat. Oh, by all means, of
Absolutely.
Course. Let's not have a thing. But today, of all days, who benefits from that? What are we really establishing? I understand it's technically not the rules, but at that point, you tell me the upside.
I've always just thought if I was an usher, here's my gig. Here's what I think. You need help getting to your seat? I'm going to help you get to your seat. I'll wipe it off. I'll get you down there. I'll check tickets as people come by me. To start the game or whatever, if that's the obligation, if that's what they want me to do, I'll do that.
Yeah, you know, there's 30,000 in the park. We got to do that.
But I've been sitting at Nats Park before. This has not been this season, obviously. But I've been sitting there a couple innings into a game, and someone will come by and say, hey, these are your guys' seats. Can I see your tickets? Well, no one's trying to sit in that seat, and it happened to be my ticket. But now I got to get, like, you've lost at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come up to me if I'm sitting watching the game checking seats.
And I'll tell you this.
You get to do that when I walk down. And I was in the right in that particular instance. Mm-hmm. But even if I wasn't, like, to me, it's above and beyond. It's unnecessary. Move people when people are sitting there. Move people on packed days. If it's a playoff game, totally get it. It's going to be shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah, it's chaos. Absolutely.
I can't imagine caring that much about one person sitting in one section. It's not like it's your seat. You know, why is it a personal affront to you that this is an $80 seat that I spent $13 to sit upstairs? And so I'm taking this seat.
A couple years ago, I had some really good buddies in town. It was ended up being kind of a thing. And the station has a suite, or had a suite, you know, as part of our agreement, engagement. It was just a Wednesday night game against the Cardinals, right? And I grabbed a bunch of tickets and had names and everything like that. I'm not kidding you. Somebody came in, six different people, and a total of 11 times over the course of the first five or six innings, we had to show our tickets to people. And after a couple times, I'm kind of going, how many times do we have to do this? You know, like, at first I told you, hey, I know I'm not the normal person that's in here.
Yeah.
But I've got a ticket. I'm here, and I'm not special, but it was a really nice thing I was able to do for some buddies here. This is fun. I'm going to incur the cost. It's not a big deal. How many times do we have to do this? Like, what's everyone getting out of this? Right. Let's say there was an interloper there that maybe didn't belong for something. The first five people couldn't have sniffed him out? You guys couldn't have had a text chain going, hey, they're all good in suite 107 or whatever the hell it is? Like, are we really okay? Like, what is the emergency? It's one of those things, and I know we're kind of getting to the weeds here, when there's an incident, when there's, hey, this is a drunken rowdy fan, when someone's, you know, getting ready to spill over into a fight, now you need the usher, you need the person that's on the spot to quell the situation and be kind of Johnny on the spot. Absolutely. But until then, we've got a nice little thing going here where nobody has to get bothered.
I'm not mad at anybody.
No, I know.
I just wanted to bounce it off of you, see what you thought.
Yeah.
Because I was just weird to me. He comes back up and he's like, so you're still on your way up to your seat? And it was a misunderstanding because I thought he told me, just being reasonable, you're good, man. Just hang out. No problem. Nobody's around. But he actually meant you're good till the half inning. So he the whole time was sitting there stewing like, this guy lied to me.
He's just Stewie Griffining.
This guy's sitting in a seat he didn't pay for.
Oh, yes. He's spent $13 and he's getting $80 in value. He's a criminal. Look at him. Look at this interloper.
Grant and Danny on the Fan. Remember, Bobby Wilder, head coach, Old Dominion, college coach of Taylor Heinicke at 3. One of my favorite guests that we've had on in the last year or so. We want to check back in with him, with Heinicke getting a lot of traction this offseason. He told us before Heinicke played, he's going to be a completely unsung and unheralded find. You guys will be blown away.
He's going to impress you. He's going to impress you guys, and you'll fall in love, is what he told us.
So we'll talk to him in 45 minutes. Last night was so embarrassing for the Philadelphia 76ers.
I mean, oh my God, dude.
Atlanta was owed one of these, right? Because of 28-3 against the Patriots?
I suppose. Yeah.
They were down almost 30 points in this game.
It looked dead.
27-point deficit, I think, at one point
in
time.
Yeah, 26, and heading into the fourth there.
They win 109-106. The Hawks have a 3-2 lead on Philly. The 76ers have blown consecutive 17-point leads in the last two games in this series. I'm sure everybody in Philadelphia is being very calm and reasonable today.
Late clock here, down to 4. Gallinari, big shot for the Hawks. The lead is 3 for Atlanta.
Turner Sports last night, Brian Anderson on the call. What I don't get is
incredible.
This. I know Trae Young is great. All-star snub, that's probably not going to happen again. 39 points and 7 assists yesterday. They're on the precipice of a conference final,
uh-huh.
A game away.
Yep.
With John Collins and the Maryland guard, Kevin Herter, who didn't score in 30 minutes last night, mm-hmm. in their starting lineup. With not even the good Bogdanovich and Gallinari and Lou Williams off the bench. Danny.
Yeah.
They're a game away from the conference final.
Wizards fans, avert your eyes.
My team has never gotten that far.
That's right.
They've been a game away after a game 6 and, you know, forced a game 7. Mm-hmm. If the Hawks lose their next game, they'll be where the Wizards were, as good as it's ever gotten.
At the best,
for me.
Exactly.
In my entire life, kind of on accident.
They played
the Knicks, who weren't really good. They're playing Philly, who is good, but for some inexplicable reason can't finish. maybe I'm taking away from the Hawks. Like, they're just getting the thing, the magical carpet ride thing to happen that the Wizards have never one time had happen.
Yeah, they're good, not great, the Hawks. But they're also well-constructed. You've got a great rebounder, rim runner, and Clint Capella, and then a bunch of shooters. Ta-da! Modern NBA basketball. You can beat people. Now, it's dependent upon a Philadelphia collapse, the likes of which we haven't seen that much of in postseason play. That was ridiculous. I don't know how it happened. It started kind of slow, and then it metastasized, and the snowball turned into an avalanche, and it went downhill, culminating with Joel Embiid bricking two free throws that would have brought him within one, still a chance to win the game at the end. They couldn't get out of their own way. You could see it in their body language, their faces. My wife's watching the game with me, and Megan goes, "Is it Philadelphia supposed to be good?" I said, "Yeah, they're pretty good. I think they're still a legit title contender." She goes, "They look like they're at a funeral." And I was like, "Yep, that's 100% correct. That is a salient assessment."
Yeah.
Watching the ghost that they're seeing on their faces. If I tell you that Joel Embiid's going to have 37, Seth Curry drops 36, you don't even get that great of a game from some of their other studs where they've got matchup advantages. You go, "Yeah, they won by 15. Now they're going to Atlanta, place that's going to be badass crazy here come tomorrow night or 6 weeks from now, whatever they play, because the NBA stinks at the playoff scheduling. But, oh my God, that Atlanta Hawks team could be going to the conference final."
Which would be staggering.
Yes.
They're now favored to do so, obviously. I am not going to rule Philly out. I think sometimes we make too much out of the swinging of the pendulum of momentum during playoff series.
In series, yeah.
Like, the Clippers are down 0-2 twice. Oh, my goodness, it's over. Well, no, they're just about to go home and win two games and even the series. And I understand why we do it. I'm a fan. I do the same thing. We act like they can't respond, like that was too emotionally taxing. Does Embiid go out and put up 30 and 20? Because they can probably respond.
Yeah.
You know, does Ben Simmons lock somebody down? But it is just crazy what happened last night. And if you're a 76ers fan.
Sorry about it.
The outrage. It has to just be through the roof. I just can't imagine what the scene's been like in Philadelphia since the end of that game. Did you hear Gerrit Cole last night after his first start without his spider tack? I shouldn't say it's his first start. A couple starts in now.
And he got hit around a bunch against Tampa.
He got hit against Tampa, but he was really good yesterday, actually. Eight innings, two runs.
Mm-hmm.
So everyone says, oh, he's not going to be the same guy. He signed for all this money. Gerrit Cole's still nasty. He, by the way, threw 101-mile-an-hour fastball in the eighth inning last night.
Still pretty good.
The fastest fastball clocked eight inning or later since Verlander a few years ago. He's going to be okay. He sounded like he was on the verge of tears talking about not being able to use foreign substances to pitch.
It's wild.
Now, I'm on record. I think what baseball did is a joke. They need to get rid of the foreign substances that are illegal and are cheating and are pushing forward with technology, spider attack, some of these other things. To not allow Gerrit Cole or anybody else to use any kind of foreign substance, I think, is egregious. And this is what Gerrit Cole's mad about. It's what Tyler Glasnow's mad about. Mm-hmm. It's what all these pitchers, and a lot of hitters in baseball, by the way, are upset about. But part of it is Gerrit Cole's got like a little bit of a higher pitch voice. I've told you he's one of the nicest dudes in the world. I've interviewed him a bunch. He's awesome. But he really did sound like someone had like taken his ball and gone home last night. It sounded like someone had kicked his puppy because he can't use any foreign substances.
He's so sad.
I think certainly the intent, I agree with. Uniformity, I agree with. It's probably consensus among all the players, especially everybody that I've spoken to. We're in line with what the league is thinking in terms of that. Now, again, you know, the customs and practices of the last 20, 30 years in this league are one thing, and then to make a drastic change in the middle of the season is going to be challenging for a lot of people. I am a little concerned of injuries, especially after talking to Tyler, and I hope that we can apply some feel to the situation. You know, I'm the players on the union calls. You know, we all have, again, quite a strong consensus on I think where we believe this should go, and you know, I would encourage the commissioner's office to continue to talk with us, please, because we're the ones that throw the ball, they don't, and we're the experts in this situation, and we're aligned in terms of intent with the commissioner.
I mean, it's a smart point.
Yeah.
He's actually
no,
right.
Is.
Like, the commissioner's office is making this ruling. Make sure that the pitchers who are throwing the baseball are giving you the information you need. I break what he just said down succinctly to no spider tack, no problem. No sunscreen is ridiculous, or some solution that we can use other than rosin and sweat. Please talk to us. Let's help you fix this because we want the same thing you do. Let's be reasonable here. That's what he just said.
Yeah, I think it's no coincidence. This is two things are no coincidence. Number one, it's the CBA year where they're going to go to the negotiating table. I think that always has to be mentioned as a backdrop, kind of like last year was. And the second thing is that there's this like, I don't even know how to say this the right way. There's this sort of, you know, ham-handed big bully fist of Major League Baseball coming in and doing it. And everybody wants to say a thing, but they can't actually say the thing. Does that make sense? What Gerrit Cole talks or Glasnow talks or
what
whoever
do
else.
What they want to say?
They want to be like, everyone's doing this. Everyone's doing it. Relax. But they can't say that. They go, well, judiciously and thoughtfully and throwing the ball. But there's physics and then the grip. And we all sort of want the same thing. Kind of. You know, but like everyone wants to say.
I think the other thing is the fans that are angry about this, like pitchers, by and large, even Cole, who has been using this stuff almost certainly, they're willing to say, yeah, get rid of it for everyone because everyone's using it to keep up with the Benjamins. We're cool with that. They just don't want to have nothing for the first time in basically the history of baseball. Grant and Danny on the Fan. I just listening to it, I was smirking because it almost sounded like he was sad. There's another cut where he goes, for Pete's sake, guys. I mean, it's just kind of funny. He's like, he's very emotional over it. And it's like he's losing this thing that's so important to him. If the Washington football team takes a step back, let's say they win seven games again or fewer this year, how are we going to respond in town? What's the reaction going to be from this fan base? Next on Grant and Danny.
Sounds like this coach has been able to find the secret sauce to be able to cross generation, no boundaries, you know, and can't maintain some relevancy and not be, you know, people, you know, yawning while you're in the meeting room. So it sounds like, because you're not going to do it by just, you can't beat people up. That day is over. You can't, you know, run them to death. You know, so all that stuff is over. You're going to have to be relational. And it looks like he has that.
Washington football team Hall of Famer Darryl Green. He joined us on Tuesday. Those were his thoughts on Ron Rivera. Generating excitement in the building from his young players despite an old school approach. Welcome back to Grant and Danny on the Fan. I just saw that CBS Sports came out with their ranking of the NFL's top 10 quarterbacks going into 2021. So I want to do that with you coming up in about 15 minutes toward the end of the hour. I don't think I need to tell anybody in advance that none of the quarterbacks for the Washington football team cracked the top 10.
No.
They slept on Ryan Fitzpatrick. They disrespected Taylor Heineke.
Top 10 within the division, I would say. Let's be real.
The nerve and the audacity to leave Kyle Allen off this list. Top 10 in the NFC East. Maybe all three of them.
Yeah.
Probably not all three of them. I don't think they all three would make the cut for the top 10.
Is Ben DiNucci still in the NFC East backing up?
So he would be last.
Yeah, so you do some math.
With all due respect to my friends from JMU.
Benny DiNucci.
We'll get into that in just a bit. But so I reference this going to break. What happens if Washington takes a step back? There is so much optimism, deservedly. There is so much hope and excitement right now with this football team. Growing up, I used to go to the store in the middle of June every single year, right about now, and I would scoop up all of the pro football magazines that came out that broke down each and every team's chances that year. Did you ever do that move?
Oh, yeah.
I wonder how many people listening
were
in on
that. Pro Football Weekly and all those different publications? Absolutely.
You'd go down the magazine aisle, you'd look, and in each market, they have your guys on the cover. So it'd be Terry McLaurin or Chase Young or Ryan Fitzpatrick. And in Philly, you know, it's Jalen Hurts or Zach Ertz or whoever. But I used to love doing that. And a buddy of mine who's at the Washington Post, Jake Russell, wrote a story today where he combed through a couple of those football magazines that hit newsstands this week and wrote down some of the things, some of the interesting observations they made about Washington. But what is telling is these magazines, traditionally very low on the team, are way higher this year. Lindy's Sports Pro Football, an annual stop for me in my magazine tour. know, they had Washington, like they have most years, in last place last year. They've got them now competing at the top of the division with Dallas. You look at the Pro Football Weekly publication that Athlon Sports put out for the 2021 NFL preview. They predicted the football team to be first in the East.
Mm-hmm.
They had them dead last year. And they have them sixth in the NFC overall. I'll add to that I saw Pro Football Talk this past week, Danny, on a piece written by Mike Florio asking who is Tampa Bay's biggest concern, you know, biggest thorn in their side potentially and going back-to-back in the NFC. They named five teams. Washington was one of them. Florio said they got to look out for the football team who played them pretty well in the playoffs. I thought that was fascinating.
That's telling.
People are feeling good about this club going into the year.
And here's – now, this requires context and nuance, and here's what I mean. If I pull back and go, three of the last 4 years, the Washington football team was 7-9. And one of those years, the other one, they went 3-13 and got a coach fired. You wouldn't feel the same way. That's the reality. But we all know that it's different, right? Logistically, it's different. People just feel better when it doesn't matter how tiny the hill is. It doesn't matter that this was one of the worst divisions in sports history, not just NFL history, but the history of all sports that Washington won last year. That NFC East was terrible. Washington finished atop that meager little pile, and they got themselves in the postseason, gave Tampa Bay all they could handle. They played them as good as anybody on Tampa's way to a Super Bowl. And you go, well, that was year one of a head coach. That was with as disastrous a turn, a set of turns at quarterback as anybody could have. They played four. One of the guys that played, I think it was the second most ultimately, got kicked off the team for being a jackass. And basically by the end of it, the guy that played the second most couldn't get a job other than to be the backup for his college coach in Jacksonville. This was as bad a quarterback situation as you will find in the league for a division winner. You see the young core. You see the Chase Young, Montez Sweat, Terry McLaurin, Antonio Gibson crew. You see the imprint of a well-respected head coach. The owner, who you know is still under investigation and all that other kind of stuff, is no longer out front ruining things. You've got a respected that part of the organization where you have Jason Wright and company. This is not a punchline. Now is usually punchline time for Washington. Everybody gets to make fun. Jay Leno does his jokes, and that's that. Yes.
So 1 year ago, either in the middle of and or still to come before training camp, was changing the team name.
Yep.
Dan Snyder's lawsuit against other owners and infighting with he and the minority owners, which came down in July as well, I believe. The sexual harassment and workplace issues and toxic culture that we learned about.
Washington Post exposés, multiple of those, yeah.
All of those things were either happening or still to come. Right now, it's all ball. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all, is this team going to win the division? Are they a top five team in the NFC like some people are saying they are? In the Athlon Sports publication that has them winning the East and going to the playoffs, they write, given the strength of the team's defense and the state of the NFC East, it's easy to see why there's such optimism in Washington. At the very least, it's safe to say there is more talent, depth, and versatility on this roster than there has been in a very long time. They have them losing to open the playoffs against the San Francisco 49ers in the wild card round. I wonder if they'd be playing against Trey Lance at that time,
or if
that's the Jimmy Garoppolo-led 49ers under Kyle Shanahan. The magazine gave Washington's 2021 draft a B+. That's another thing, by the way. Their draft grade in all of these publications, B's or A's. I mean, mm-hmm. People are just high on what they're doing. Understandably so. But here is my question. They play a way more difficult schedule this year. The division, while not great, is going to be better, unequivocally. Cowboys get Dak back, had a decent offseason. Giants, Daniel Jones now has weapons, regressed last year, went and got Kenny Galladay, drafted Kadarius Toney, Saquon Barkley should be back at running back.
Yeah, a team that finished one game behind you and beat you twice. People have right. Just written off the Giants, by the way.
And I'm not doing that. I think they'll be competitive.
Uh-huh.
I think they're about as good as Washington and about as good as Dallas. I don't see Philly on the same level as the other three teams. I think they get off the elevator. The Cowboys, Giants, and Washington football team stay on the elevator and go up to the next floor, and they all get off together. But what happens if Washington does take a step back? That's my question to you. And we can open up the Gambit DC listener lines for some takes on that at 800-636-1067. We can get to some calls ahead of Bobby Wilder, Taylor Heinicke's college coach, who joins us at 3 o'clock. 800-636-1067. Do you think people will be calm and reasonable and rational and just say, all right, they're a year ahead of schedule at 7-9, probably should have been more 6-10, 5-11, but the division was horrendous, and you know they were going to lose to the Bengals, and then Joe Burrow got hurt, and they played the Steelers when they had just played on it 5 days before that, and they played the 49ers at a neutral site, and they played four backup quarterbacks over the course of the year. Now all of those things aren't the case, and they played the four teams that were the last team standing in the AFC and the NFC championship game. Will they view it that way, or is it going to be a mad at the coaching staff, disappointed in players kind of reaction?
Second one. And we can say now how reasonable we'll be. I'll take you back to 2012 and then 2013. The expectations, you remember this, you were covering the team. The expectations, people were coming on the radio talking about 12-4, 13-3. Super Bowl contender.
But that was never reasonable.
You and I both know that. But they won the division in the flukiest way possible.
Okay,
you go 3-6 and you win seven straight games with all sorts of crazy crap happening and breaking in your favor. That's what you just outlined.
I understand.
A more challenging schedule.
I guess I'm asking about a more reasonable person. Like crazy people are going to say they're terrible or they're great all the time. I'm more wondering, people who follow this closely and have a pretty good feel, how do you think they'll react to that?
I'm telling you, it's easy to get swept up in it and not look at the information. Just go, so this was a flaw to you. Ah, division champions. Yeah, but no, division champions. That's what they'll hear. And the expectations have gone probably higher than they should for this group.
You can see a fan kind of screaming, last year we won the division championship, and now we're 6-11. You're only one game worse.
I think they could be better, and a field goal is made or missed, and now they're 6-11. Everyone's going to go, what the hell happened? Buffalo, Kansas City, Tampa Bay, New Orleans could be pretty good. Green Bay, if Aaron Rodgers plays, you just add up some of the losses. Other teams aren't horrendous around you. It could be a quote-unquote worst season without you actually having the bottom fallout.
Stands to reason, and it goes without saying, they could be really good. The defense has a chance to be awesome. The quarterback position is upgraded with Ryan Fitzpatrick starting. And the coaching staff seems to have everyone pulling the rope in the same direction. All of those things are fun and exciting. If for whatever reason, and the reason for me would be schedule and the quarterbacks, which is a murderer's row, like 27 Yankees type lineup that you got to deal with this year. Just a different world from a year ago. You don't take the step everyone's expecting. How will the fan base handle it? How will you specifically take it? 800-636-1067 is the number. We're Grant and Danny. You are listening to The Fan. With Danny, I'm Grant. You're listening to The Fan. We are on Twitter. Hit me up, at Grant H. Paulson.
At Funny Danny.
If Washington takes a step back on the gridiron this year, how would you feel? For me, I'd be okay with it for this reason. It depends on who plays well and who doesn't. But let's say non-quarterback division, they show a lot of strides. Antonio Gibson makes the leap that I think he's going to. Terry McLaurin solidifies himself again as a number one wide receiver. Mm-hmm. Looks like Curtis Samuel is dynamic in this offense. Maybe De'Ami Brown's a player. Let's say Sam Cosmi starts and proves he can play in the National Football League. If there's enough of those types of things, but you're still the quarterback away and you just played really good teams, you get outclassed a little bit, and you win seven or eight games and you miss the playoffs, totally fine with that. Because this is all about finding your quarterback this offseason for me. I do think I'd be in the minority a little bit, but that's where I'm at.
So I will have a twofold reaction. Reaction number one, I'd like to never, ever have anybody say that Ron Rivera and his staff and his and the two Martys or whomever else is above being questioned. I think we can now bring questions on the table. These are not infallible people. This is not Bill Walsh 2.0. This is not Joe Gibbs 2.0. This is a person that may make errors in judgment. So let's bring that on the table.
In a business,
if they fall
in
back.
Fairness to him, yeah. Where everyone makes errors.
Well, absolutely. Judgment. But right now, Ron Rivera said so. So it's the cult of Ron at this stage. He's got everybody eating out of his paw. That's number one. Number two, I'll be really irritated that they did this because the whole point of getting Ryan Fitzpatrick is to not take the step back, right? They wanted to make sure that they were okay. You should have gone and you wasted a year with some of these young players under contract cheaply, not having a quarterback of the future.
Let's go to Danny in Arlington on G&D. Danny, how would you feel if they're not in the playoffs and they do take a small step backwards?
Yeah, hey, guys. Hey, and I appreciate y'all taking my call.
Got
here.
It, bud.
Honestly, I would be disappointed. I think they've made some significant steps here in the offseason. Grant, like you said, with the acquisition of Ryan Fitzpatrick, Curtis Samuel. I mean, these guys are electric. They've been electric. So I hope that they're able to bring together a cohesive unit. But you do have to keep in mind, man, I mean, let's taper our expectations just a little bit. I don't know if y'all saw that schedule. It's pretty tough.
Oh, yeah.
It is brutal. They've got the, and they've on got that the Niners, point, they've Danny? Got some, last year's schedule was not nearly as difficult. I think I lost you. Sorry about that, buddy. I wanted to let you keep going there. But last year's schedule not only was just not as arduous, but everything worked out in a way that was fitting for them. I am a proponent of the longtime Mike Shanahan axiom. It is not who you play. It is when you play them. And I reference it all the time, but if you go back through it, it's pretty incredible with the backup QBs they played or the games when they're playing someone and Dalton leaves and DiNucci comes in. And it was a feeding frenzy of a bunch of sharks with blood in the water.
Mm-hmm.
You got Ryan Finley when Joe Burrow got hurt. You got the Steelers on a short turnaround because of COVID after the Ravens. You played the 49ers in Arizona for some reason when they lost a home game. A lot of things clicked last year scheduling-wise. This is a much more tough road ahead, I think. Mark in Largo, how are you?
What's up, Mark?
Hey guys, how you doing? I think it depends on where. If they have the quarterback carousel like they had last year, I don't care what Danny and you say, Grant, y'all going to be furious.
Yeah, 100%.
That's true. If they're playing four QBs, Mark, you're right about
that. I'd be rip-ass, dude.
Especially if Justin Fields is Justin Herbert, 21. Danny is going to be furious.
Absolutely.
And I'm going to be right there with them. Because you can't let Chicago get Fields right behind you. Get him. Anybody else can get him but Chicago. Washington not getting him is bad. And I'm going to keep saying this. Now, if Fields turns out to be a bust, oh, okay, it is what it is. But if he's Justin Herbert from last year, man.
or even not a record setter, even good. If him or Mac Jones are good, it is going to be an endless stream of old Randy Douillet bringing that up, that it didn't cost that much to move up and get one of those guys.
And I think that's on the table and fair.
Yes.
Like a lot of people say, oh, that's revisionist history. No, because it's not second guessing. It's kind of first guessing. You didn't have a quarterback. He kept sliding. You could have easily traded up. It didn't cost the Bears that much. And they came up from behind where you were to move up.
Yeah.
Now, you could say, well, they traded within the division, and division team may not have done that. Number one says who, but number two, okay, so don't trade up to the division team. Trade up to one of the other teams. But it does hinge on whether or not he's legit. Like, people aren't mad they didn't take Tua last year anymore because Tua doesn't look like he can play. People are now mad that they didn't take Herbert if they're upset. Nobody wanted Herbert at the time. Let's go to Lou in D.C. What's up, Lou?
Hey, Lou.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How you guys doing?
Good, pal.
Great, buddy.
So I'm going to put it like this. I won't be disappointed like the guy said, the first caller. My expectation is, you know, we got – the schedule is very brutal. You gotta look at the schedule. Number two, we still in the rebuilding mode. You know, it's only a year and a half with Ron, so we still need a quarterback. You know, Ryan is just a bridge to get to that quarterback that we need. I could see if we had Aaron Rodgers maybe – and then, you know, everything should be clicking. But at the end of the
right,
day...
Right, like if they went out and they got their veteran and took a step back,
like if they were successful
different.
With Stafford, that trade they tried to make.
Exactly. They're not really treating it like they're in full-on rebuild mode, though. I mean, they've done nothing that would make you think that they're quote-unquote rebuilding. The one thing that bodes well for them going into a tougher schedule, they're a better team. They are better in areas almost across the board universally. Mm-hmm. And most importantly, at quarterback. They should be dramatically better. If Heinicke plays over Fitzpatrick, if Fitzpatrick's healthy, it's because they think he's better. Fitzpatrick's an upgrade at this point of his career over Alex Smith.
Over all the guys that played last year. I agree with that.
Should be. Speaking of Heinicke, his head coach in college, Bobby Wilder, has been on the show. He's tremendous. If you haven't heard him, he's going to join us next. And before the end of the segment, I'll tell you about that top 10 list of QBs from CBS Sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.